From Stonewall to Marriage Equality, 50 Years of Pride. I'm Sweetina Kakar, and one of my favorite things about Pride are the stories told throughout the years of people telling the world who they are, their journey of coming out. I'm lucky to have Ruby Rims with me to tell Ruby's story. Hi, Ruby.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. So before we get into the coming out, quote unquote, part, when did you know you wanted to do drag?
11.
Whoa.
12. Halloween. Mm-hmm. My birthday. It makes sense,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I was born on Halloween. That's the truth. And I wanted to get dressed up. I wanted to get dressed up as a girl. And my sister gave me her red dress. And I went out trick-or-treating, and guys tried to pick me up.
Well, that's a nice compliment.
Yeah, it was. It was. So, and then for a few years, yeah, I did it on Halloween, and my dad one time said, "Are you ever going to outgrow this?" And I said, "No." And when I was around 21 years, I started performing in drag.
And how was that for you, thinking that people thought you were going to outgrow that?
You know, when you're young, when you're younger, parents, I think parents, a lot of parents, not all, but some parents think you're going to outgrow things.
Right.
In time, they realized I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to outgrow being the way I was.
Right.
I wasn't going to outgrow liking to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
And drag was several things for me. It was a chance for me to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Because I performed in high school and I did the school shows. I didn't go to college. And when I graduated from high school, I kind of felt, you know, what do I do?
Right.
And I came to New York. In those days, you only had to be 18 to go into the bars.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into my first gay bar, which was the Round Table, over on East 50th Street. And I went there a few times. And one night, they had a drag show. And I saw the show and I said, I could do that, and I could do it better. And a little bar in Newark,
yeah,
which is where I was from, Newark, New Jersey, opened called The Other World. And I got to know the owner. So one night I decided I'm going to do a little show. And I got dressed up in a red and blue dress
uh-huh.
that I got for $3 at Klein's.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, who was a girl, gave me her makeup, let me her makeup. And I put on a silver wig that I had given my grandmother for Christmas. And oh my goodness, I looked like I don't know what. But I thought I was gorgeous. And I lip sang to Big O' Ruby Red Dress, Helen Reddy, and I Feel Pretty from West Side Story. And there you have it.
Yeah.
And I started performing a few times at The Other World. And then a bunch of some impersonators, drag queens, came in from New York City, and they started performing there. And one of them took me under the wing. His name was David Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And brought me to New York, and I performed at the Limelight, the original
Limelight,
not the church. And I performed there, I think, about 75.
Were you ever afraid to dress in drag or be yourself?
No. I paid, not when I was in drag, but to... because I was gay,
mm-hmm.
in Newark, I was bashed.
Oh, you were?
And spent 5 days in hospital because of it. In Claremont. And I was led on by a young man. And then he brought me into a room, and it was dark. And he sat me on the bed, and I thought something was going to happen. He went to address the door and put on a pair of brass knuckles. And so I spent 5 days in Claremont, and then I knew it was time to get out of Dodge.
Oh, yeah.
Performing in drag was an outlet for me.
Okay.
It was a chance for me not only to perform and do what I like to do, but it was also an escape.
From everyday world?
From reality. It's like going to Disney World.
Oh. And so was reality really tough for you?
At times, yeah. Okay. Especially in those days.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, I graduated from high school in 1971, so yeah. This is 1972,
so right 73. During the Stonewall
right,
era.
Right, well, Stonewall, I didn't realize I graduated 2 years after Stonewall. I was in Newark. We lived on Broadway. And we always had the radio on. And my mom was listening to a radio station, and it was they were talking about Stonewall.
Right.
And my mom turned to me and says, "Your friends are acting up over there." She knew.
Yeah.
Everybody knew. I've never tried to hide anything. I can't. I've only known how to be myself all these years.
So did you,
and at times you pay a price.
Right. So did you ever have a moment of coming out? Did you tell your parents, tell your friends, or was it just...
I certainly didn't have to tell my parents. They knew I was gay. They knew I was messing around. Real parents... Real parents mm-hmm. know their children.
Did you feel accepted by your family?
It took a little bit.
Okay.
It took a little bit. You know, people have to grow to understand.
Yeah.
I had to grow to understand.
Right. That's true. I mean, you learn yourself.
Life is a learning process.
Right.
You know, being gay is also a learning process.
So was telling friends or the outside world difficult?
No. Not very much. I think most people kind of suspected it. I was, you know, I grew up in Newark. You were either black or Italian, and I was a screaming queen.
Oh. So you stuck out like a sore thumb?
Oh, kind of, yeah. Yeah, I was a fat little white gay boy.
So with what you said so lightly about being beaten, did that instill any fear, or were you out for vengeance to really be you even more? Like, what that experience must have been life-changing.
It was. I knew there were, you know, there are great people in this world,
mm-hmm.
and you know there are people that aren't. And he was one of those that weren't very nice person.
Right.
And I think deep in my heart, he couldn't deal with the fact that he was gay either.
So now, after that,
mm-hmm.
after recovering, were you afraid of being gay? Were you...
I was not afraid of being gay. I was afraid of what some people may try to do to me.
So how did you combat that? How did you get out of that?
I got out of it eventually by coming to New York City, by performing,
mm-hmm.
and then coming to New York City and I started doing drag.
So was drag like your safe place?
To an extent, yes.
And did you feel any sort of way when you were or are in drag? Do you feel more of yourself, less of yourself, the same?
I felt real. I felt part like myself, part like a person who perhaps I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
An escape. Being able to perform, being able to be campy, being funny.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to forget that there is hate in the world.
I'm still so wrapped around that whole experience and how lightly you spoke about it.
You learn to accept the past because it's the past.
Right.
And it happened. There's nothing you can do about mm-hmm. it. And you move on. And I moved on. To the village.
A lot of people move to the village.
A lot of people move to the village.
Moving on takes courage. Do you think that you've been very courageous since or even before being yourself?
Courageous? I guess you can say that. I'll say something. But
yeah.
I had balls.
Yeah, well... Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively.
It does
in a sequin gown.
Yeah, you know. They might look quite fancy that way.
Yeah.
Just dressing them up.
Yeah, you know, it was, I was just being myself.
How important is that to you, to be yourself?
A lot.
Why?
Everything. Because so many people try to be something they're not.
I mean, there's a lot of people who are still kind of living in a closet or finding themselves. What would you say to them?
Come out wherever you are, from every street corner and every gay bar.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
No, you, look, there are people. I would never out someone.
Right.
I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
I wish more people would come out.
Yeah. So back in the day when you told people that you were in drag, how did they respond? Or were you or did you tell people?
Some people knew I was a drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad didn't come to see me perform until 1980. Story. And my brother and my sister had seen me perform throughout the years, but they never came. And finally, my brother said, why don't you go see him perform?
Yeah.
So they came. And luckily that night that they came, in the audience was a wonderful singer by the name of Margaret Whiting. She had a hit called Moonlight in Vermont.
Hmm.
And way before your time.
Just a tad.
It's a tad. And my mom used to sing that song around the house. So she saw Margaret Whiting there. And it solidified me that I was an actual performer. I was back in the day. I was a gay household name in the metropolitan area.
Metropolitan area. So you mentioned your sister and your siblings. How did they take it? Did you have to come out to them, or did they know? How did you guys have conversations about it?
No, they knew. They knew. And my poor brother. They were both older mm-hmm. than me. My sister is 6 years was 6 years older than me. My brother is 5 years older than me, and so I was the baby.
Right.
But as I got older, and I was 14, 15, I was. People knew.
Right.
And
how did they know?
Well. I was a little bit active, sexually active.
Right.
And then in high school, they say every high school had a slut.
Oh.
I was her.
Hey, it has to be somebody.
Last year of high school, and then we got out of high school that summer, forget it.
High school? Was high school tough being the gay boy in high school?
At times, yes. I was popular because I did the shows and I sang and I ran for student council. Didn't win there. The last year of high school, it was a little rough because some of the boys got around.
Yeah.
And some of the teachers knew and said, and I didn't want to go to class because I was... called names and hit a couple times and I would go to class and I would go down in the office and help the ladies in the office and do the mail and everything, and the teachers knew. In those days they didn't do anything.
Right.
They knew they didn't want to see me persecuted, but they really didn't stop them.
But I'm in complete awe that you still carried on and being yourself, knowing that people were calling you names and were hitting you. How did you swallow that?
It's Frank Sinatra song called My Way.
Mm-hmm.
I hit it up and spit it out. The record shows I took the blows. Did it my way. You know?
You lived a happy life?
As my mom used to say, oh, my life could have been better. It could have been worse.
Yeah, could have been
worse. Surviving has been incredible. It's been bittersweet because I ended up, when I was diagnosed, my whole family was alive. My dad, my mom, my sister, my brother. And I'm the last man standing. And I watched so many men and so many people I knew that died mm-hmm. from AIDS. And yet, I'm still here. There's something I'm supposed to do. What it is, I'm not exactly sure what the heck it is. Mm-hmm. But you may be just doing what I do.
We only have one life to live.
Move on.
Right.
That sounds like a TV show.
We only have one life to live. Yeah, it probably is some daytime.
That sounds like a soap opera, if you ask me.
If we have one life to live, might as well live it the way you want it.
Might as well live it as you.
Yeah, might as well live it as you. Ruby Rims, thank you for living your life. Thank you for living it as yourself.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming on with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Relive the history, hear the stories, and be inspired. From Stonewall to marriage equality, 50 years of pride at 1010winds.com/pride. I'm Sweetina Kakar.